Time together, that's for sure. What a great day, what a great day, evening to be back in the house of the Lord. I think we've got about 40 minutes, 35, 40 minutes, something like that. So can we have a little just family time? Is that all right? Y'all good with that? My brother back there in the back corner back there, I already told him I was going to pick on him because that used to be my place back there. Not in this building, by the way, in my church back in Waxahachie, but I always found the back corner because I felt like that was safe. The night I got saved, I was sitting as far away from the pulpit as I could get. And you guys thought I was joking. These guys in the front, they're all spiritual. Amen. So they go, oh, wow, we don't need that. We're already there. And they throw all this spiritual stuff over their shoulder. It all piles up in the back corners back there. You think that's not true? My life is proof it's true. I was a heating and air conditioning contractor in Waxahachie, and I'm almost getting my mouth shaped back to be able to say Waxahachie again. And I can say, I remembered how to say y'all and fixing to again. My wife is just going, oh no. Just quit. Well, you're already dug a deep enough hole. But anyway, we had our heating and air conditioning business. Life was going good. We thought we had it made. And we had started building a business that was really going well. And then God thought, this is time to be funny. And I had promised my wife, I said, darling, when we get married, I will never go into ministry. My dad had been a preacher. Her dad had been a preacher. She says, that's a deal. If you'll stick by that, we'll stay married. And so anyway, for some reason, throughout our married life, though, missions kept coming up. And it would just eat away at my heart a little bit. And I would say, okay, Lord, now I'm not doing that. I'm not doing that. And I would sit in my back corner back there, nice and happy, smiling. You guys are doing a real good job back there, by the way. Grinning away like, yep, yeah, this guy, he ain't going to talk to me like that. But I would sit back where you guys are, and I would be saying, Lord, just make me rich, and I'll send all these missionary types. I can honestly say, in with all sincerity and real genuineness of heart, money to me is nothing. I have to have it to live. In that sense, it ranks right up there with air and water. I've gone to the supermarket, and they didn't say, oh, you're such a nice guy. Just take what you want and have a nice day. They always want money. It's the craziest thing. So I do appreciate the fact you got to have it. But I've never been in love with it. To me, it's always been a tool. You just use it to do what you need to do, get what you need to get when you need to get it. And so I was very happy saying, Lord, bless my business, make me rich, and I will send these people to the world. And then one day, I don't hear voices in my head, but God talks to me. And I could hear it almost like it was a voice, that still small voice inside of me saying, listen, I don't want your money, I want you. And I said, God, you're talking to the wrong guy here. Just make me rich, and I'll send these people. And missionary after missionary after missionary came through our church. And I would say, God, just make me rich. I'll help pay for these guys to go where you're sending them. Just leave me alone. And my wife will tell you, it got rough because I got out of church for 9 months. I worked harder than I had ever worked in my life and had less to show for it than you can possibly imagine. And through it all, God was saying, no. I don't want your money, and you're not going to have any money till you surrender to me. And then I will show you where you're going to go. 9 months later, I finally got back in church. And in getting back in church and getting back right with God, God showed me how miserable I was, and even more so how miserable I had made the rest of the world around me. Because God had to get hold of my life. God had to break my heart. God had to do that work in my life. Until I finally looked at her one day and I said, Ruth, I said, if I do this thing, will you go with me? And she said, if you go, we are a team, so I'll go with you. At that point, she had my daughter Judy to take to the doctor. And as she walked out the door, she said to me, she said, listen, here's the deal. You either put up or shut up. Now, I know we're not supposed to say shut up in church. That's not very nice. But she said, you put up or shut up. Don't ever bring this up again. We're done talking about it. So she left, and I did the only thing a man can do, is that's go to God in prayer. I thought, okay, I'm going to talk to God one more time about this. God, what do you want me to do? And as I'm starting to pray, I got about as far as Dear Heavenly Father. And I thought, you know, this is just stupid. I don't need to pray about this. I just need to say, God, here's my life. You use me. And so God took a heat and air conditioning contractor that thought he was half cowboy, and cowboy hat, cowboy boots, isn't that what I was telling you? And I could have walked on a John Wayne Western and you'd have thought I was already made up and in costume for the being a, you know, one of the extras. The only thing that gave me away was the Glock instead of a 45, you know? So I would have had to change that. But beyond that, I would have just fit right in. And somebody thought it'd be cute, me going to a place like Scotland. Because Scotland, I could have wore my cowboy hat, my cowboy boots, and a kilt. You remember when I told that joke 20 years ago? I still am laughing at it all these years later, but it's true. And I said, you ain't getting this old cowboy in no stinking skirt. Which is always the next bad joke that I always tell is, you know why they call it a kilt? Because money a man's been kilt for calling it a skirt. So anyway, those are my bad jokes for the night. But God did that work in my life that only he could do. And I couldn't make it up. If I tried, I couldn't make up the story God's put before us. My wife assures me that living with me and following me around the places God's put us is nothing but an adventure. But God's been good. God took a guy that was doing what he thought was the right thing to do and changed his heart to have a compassion for people that I had no idea who it was. So we took, in March of 1999, we took a trip to Scotland, and like Ruth said this morning, as we were in around and saw the empty buildings, the faces without hope, God broke our hearts for a country that we just fell in love with. Now, I say that to say we talk about the different missionaries, and we look around at the different national flags, and we see flags, and they represent nations, they represent people. And I want you to know, all of your missionaries are different personalities. You may be looking at yourself in the mirror and thinking who you are, and you say, well, you know what, John? God just didn't make me to be a missionary. God didn't make me to be a witness. I'm this, I'm that. We've all got our excuses why we can't serve God to our fullest. And we think, I don't have this, I don't have that, I'm not outgoing, I'm not friendly, I'm not. Use whatever excuse you use. And the reality is, God made you who you are to reach a different kind of a person. My personality, the first thing we read about Scotland was on this internet. It was called AOL. I don't know if any of you remember that. That's been a long time ago, showing my age now. And it was this wonderful little site that said, Gateway to Scotland. And the very first line of that was, the people of Scotland are feisty, opinionated, stubborn, and fiercely loyal. And my wife said to me, boy, if that doesn't sound just like you. And I got to tell you, if you're not that, you would not last doing ministry in a place like Scotland. You guys support another missionary, the Brinkleys, that are over there. And I'm sure they'll tell you the same thing I'll tell you. It is a slow process. If we get two or three a year that come to faith, we think we've had a banner year. But you know, God didn't call us to reach, what'd you say, 3,000? Some kids meeting up in front of a Hindu temple up in the mountains. That's not where God put us. Now, I would like that. That would be a great opportunity. I would just think, I've died and gone to heaven. This is amazing. But God had to get a stubborn knothead to go to a place like Brecon to stay faithful for 20 years. We had a lady when we first moved there. She says, after you've been here, what did she say, 5 years, 10 years? 10 years. She says, when you've been here 10 years, I'll believe you're staying, and then I'll come visit your church. Year 15, true to her word, she finally showed up. And we built a beautiful, beautiful friendship, a beautiful, beautiful relationship. And when I did, she passed away of cancer in the middle of COVID, and I got to do her funeral and to be able to say, this lady loved the Lord. What precious memories we have. Amen. That cloth that's back on the table back there is one she gave us. And every time we look at that, we think of a lady by the name of Janet Penman, who spent, though she was born in Scotland, she spent a lot of years down in the hill country down here in Texas, so she didn't sound very Scottish very often. But we loved her and she loved us. And one of our joys when we get to heaven after we've had a long chat with Jesus, we want to sit and talk to her amongst so many others. But the thing is, all this to say, we went to reach a people that we had no idea who they were. We went to reach a people that you guys will never see. So I want us to go to the book of Colossians this evening. I want us to start with a verse that was on that last slide we showed this morning, which is Colossians chapter 4. I'm going to add in verse 2 just because I can. But we really want to focus on verse 3 here real quick. He says, Paul says, as he's closing out this book to the church at Colossae, he says, continue in prayer and watch in the same with thanksgiving, with all praying also for us, that God would open unto us a door of utterance to speak the mystery of Christ, for which I also am in bonds. Now, Paul used that little term, the mystery of Christ. Now, my contention is, here in our American church, too many of us have gotten comfortable with Jesus. And we throw Jesus around as an example. He was a good testimony. He was a great teacher. He was all these wonderful things. And our world looks at Jesus as this little kind of almost a guru kind of guy walking around, bless you, patting all the little children on the head, bless you, bless you, bless you, bless you. He was so sweet, he was so kind, and they have forgotten, or they have never heard, that Jesus was the guy that threw the people out of the temple and said, get out of here, because this is my Father's house. It's supposed to be a house of prayer. Our world, we in the church, we have gotten comfortable with who Jesus is, and we take him for granted. But our world that is lost, dying, and about to enter a place called hell, they have no clue who he really is. The world we live in, as I said this morning, our world says there are about 1.2% of any of the people. I don't remember, did I say it in church or did I say it in Sunday school? One of the two. But anyway, the point is 1.2% of our area population goes to any kind of, and I'm using this term extremely loosely, to any kind of Christian worship service. 1.2%. Over 50% now, if you would ask them what religion they are, they say, I'm an atheist. The really funny ones are the ones that say, well, I'm a Christian, but I don't believe there's a God. I'm a Christian atheist. What in the world makes you a Christian? They say, well, I was baptized in the church when I was a baby. I live in a Christian nation. And you know, folks, that is the world you are about to face here if you're not already seeing it. It's time to wake up and smell the coffee, as they say. Because we live in a world to whom Jesus Christ is a mystery. For us, we should be able to go to his book and say, here is Jesus Christ. Jesus Christ, and I keep coming back to the gospel message out of Corinthians, where he says, and the basis of the gospel is this, Jesus Christ crucified, buried, and risen. Amen. And then I like to add in Titus, where he says, looking for that blessed hope and the glorious appearing of our great God and Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ. I'm looking forward to him coming again. So my gospel has three parts, but I love adding that fourth part, because that's too sweet. And so that is our prayer to you today. And that's the prayer of every missionary that you support. And if it's not, get rid of them. But there better be their prayer. It's definitely my prayer is pray for us that God will open the doors of utterance so that I can explain the mystery of who Jesus Christ, so he's no longer a mystery to the world in which I live. Right. Now, here's where the rubber meets the road. This is the part you're not going to like. It's great to send John Bergen to Scotland. We don't have any responsibility there except we pray for him, you know, dear God, bless the missionaries. So I'm not really angry, and I'm really not trying to beat you up, so don't take it that way. But it's a serious business. This is eternal stuff. This is not something casual that we just throw on like I threw on my jacket when I got out of the car to come in here this evening. Jesus Christ is important stuff. He should not be a mystery to us. And we should want to talk about him, proclaim him, make him known into the world we live in. Sometimes you got to be seriously patient to find that opportunity to say, here's Jesus. Sometimes we get that once in a lifetime, twice in a lifetime chance to say, here's Jesus. Somebody goes, oh, tell me more. I don't know about you. Have you had that happen a lot? No, neither have I. I'm still waiting for some of it. You know, I like it when it happens. But most of the time it's, hi, I'm John. Who are you? We get to know each other. I get to go hang out with the teenagers and rub off on them a little bit and get a little cool, right? Did it work? They're kind of doubtful. But you always hope, you know? And so I meet people. I build relationships with people. I make fun of them when they sit in the back of the auditorium, despite what I told them first thing this morning, right? I mean, it's a great life I live. I mean, man, I got it made. I get to run around and talk about Jesus and say, hey, that's my job. But even more importantly, that's my heart. And so I want people to know who this mystery of Christ is. But you guys as well. I'm sorry, I'm back in Texas. Y'all need to get this as part of your heart as well. Amen. All right? This is important. This needs to be the core of your heart. So I'm going to take us to Colossians chapter 1. We're going to start out with Paul, an apostle of Jesus Christ by the will of God, and Timotheus, our brother, to the saints and faithful brethren in Christ, which are at Colossae. Grace be unto you and peace from God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. Now, I'm trying to figure out now, what do you all call your pastor? Just pastor? Did you know he's got a name? He has a name. And tonight his name is Paul. And he's thinking, where are you going with this? Oh my goodness. Apostle Paul was pretty important. I'm not quite there. I may be a couple steps below him, not by much, but I'm not quite that good. Does that about sound about right? Oh, you're not even close. Well, I'm down there even lower than that. But anyway, we're going to pretend you're Paul tonight. Now, y'all have a name? Everybody here has a name, right? Say your name real quick. I didn't hear you. Say it one more time. You guys over here, what's your name? Come on, you know you got a name. All right, oh, Caleb, I like that name. Now the rest of y'all, four of y'all there. Spit it out here. All right, and you ladies, what's your names? Shy and Bashful. He's picking on me, Mom, I'm going home. We all have a name, right? But tonight, set aside your name, and I'm going to call you Timothy. You are the church. You are the church of Jesus Christ. You are a church that represents who Christ is. But you are a church that sends missionaries to the world. And Paul says here, I am an apostle of Jesus Christ by the will of God, and Timotheus, my brother. My sisters, you are Timothy tonight. Now let's jump down a few verses here, verse 7. And he says, as you also learned of Epaphras, our dear fellow servant, who is for you a faithful minister of Christ, who also declared unto us your love in the Spirit. Now I know I was introduced as John Bergen, but my name is Epaphras. I am the one that Apostle Paul sends out to the world. Now I didn't go to Colossae. I ended up in a little town called Brechin. Now, my greatest dream would be that someday, as Paul said of John Mark, somebody might consider that I was profitable to the ministry. But I aspire to be a faithful minister of Christ. That's my aspiration. That is my wife's aspiration. My wife goes with me on this journey, and she encourages me to stay faithful. When I want to quit, she doesn't quit. When she quits, I try not to quit. It's tough being out there by ourselves. That's why I say I'm not 20. One of you guys needs to step up and get over to Scotland and help me. But right now, my name's Epaphras. You have sent Ruth and I to a place called Brechin, Scotland. And we want to be faithful servants, faithful ministers of Christ. Why? Because Christ is not a mystery to us. We know who he is. But if you're going to be Paul and you're going to be Timothy, here's the heart you have to have. So let's jump over to chapter 2 and verse 1. And I wish we had about 12 hours, and I might almost get through the rest of the chapter here of chapter 1. So go home and read that when you got time. Make time for it. It's well worth the effort. And I hear your pastor's working through Colossians anyway. So he's probably already told you some of that stuff. But study it, because it's so beautiful, the things that God speaks into our lives through that first part. But we're going to skip over to chapter 2, verse 1. He says, "For I would that you knew what a great conflict I have for you. For them at Laodicea, and for as many as have not seen my face in the flesh, that their hearts might be comforted, being knit together in love, and unto all riches of a full assurance of understanding, to the acknowledgement of the mystery of God, and of the Father, and of Christ, in whom are hid all the treasures of wisdom and knowledge." Oh man, doesn't that sound good? That's where you can say amen, all right? Doesn't that sound good to know all the hidden treasures of wisdom and knowledge are found in Christ? Wow, he is not a mystery to us. He is not an unknown to us. We should know who he is. And verse 4 goes on. It says, "This I say, lest any man should beguile you with enticing words." You've already heard, I'm no good with enticing words, so we're off the hook there. "For though I be absent in the flesh, yet I am with you in the spirit, joying and beholding your order and the steadfastness of your faith in Christ. As ye have therefore received Christ Jesus the Lord, so walk ye in him, rooted and built up in him, and established in the faith, as you have been taught, abounding therein with thanksgiving." So Paul starts out by saying, listen, we are doing this with thanksgiving. And he ends this section by saying, we do these things with thanksgiving. Now, I confess, as I've already said, for us a big banner year of salvations is 2 or 3. We get excited over that. We rejoice with the angels in heaven when that happens. But boy, I'll tell you what, when you're writing a missionary letter back home saying, ooh, we had one saved, it doesn't sound very spectacular, does it? That's where you can go, oh me, or oh my, I'm fine with that. Because it's true, it does not sound very spectacular, but God called us to the people he called us to. Amen. And God puts you in the place you are to minister to the people that he puts into your life. And every missionary has different skills, different abilities, different congregations, different people that they have the ability to reach for a reason. And God equips each of us in a particular way for the people that he calls us to. Some of the missionaries I know, they are blessed people. They are wonderful people. But if they came to Scotland, they'd quit. Because you got to be stubborn, hard-headed, what was it, feisty, opinionated, stubborn, and fiercely loyal. And I might even add in a little bit sarcastic so that you can reach them. But that's part of where we are. And God made me to be that way myself so that I could minister into those kind of people's lives. God made my wife to be able to keep me going when even my stubbornness is not enough. But here's the challenge. I am who I am, but you must be who you are supposed to be. Your pastor Paul and you Timothys have a task to do. Back to verse 1 of chapter 2, he says, "For I would that ye knew what great conflict I have for you." Now here's the challenge. Here's where the rubber meets the road, because it is too easy for us to talk about who Jesus is. Because that's what we do. We're in church. This place is easy to talk about Jesus. But when you think about the people that I'm ministering to in my ugly little town that has become so much a part of my heart that I think it's beautiful now, when I walk the streets of Brecon, I just know I'm home. And I don't always talk with the Texas drawl over there, because they don't understand that. They understand American, but they don't understand Texican. And so I got to change my language a little bit, and I got to say things like boot and bonnet and all these other weird words that you guys would go, what in the world is he saying? Now, thankfully, I don't have to say things like, let's see, what's the one? If you can say it's a brabrik munlik nikyarechikin. I don't have to talk that way, fortunately. That'd be a little bit tough. I was trying to get some little kids to say that with me the other day, and they just couldn't tang their tongues around that. And so it's taken me a few years. But the point of it is, I'm ministering to the lives of people that you will never see. You will not meet in this lifetime. They will not see you, the Pauls and the Timothys of this church. They will not see you here at Heritage. But the challenge is, we are ministering the mystery of Christ into the lives of unsaved people that need to know who Jesus Christ is. And so my prayer, my request of you, is fall so much in love with Jesus that when you think of our little town over there in Brecon, Scotland, and by the way, the Scottish flag's the yellow one there with the red lion on it, all right? It's not the Saltaire that's the usual one, but that's all right. That's my Scottish flag up there. When you see that flag year after year, time after time, I want you to think, John and Ruth in Brecon, Scotland, and ask yourself the question, is my heart broken for those people that they are ministering into? See, I can pray all I want, and I think the Lord answers my prayers, but I need help. I need you to be praying for people in Brecon, Scotland. I need you to have this heart of the Apostle Paul and his co-worker Timothy. I need you to be conflicted in angst. Your life is ruined as you think about this little place called Brecon. Your life is just in chaos because your heart is conflicted. Because Paul's conflict was, I want to come to Colossae. I want to come and share the mystery of Christ and reveal the mystery of Christ to you as a people there in Colossae, but I can't do it. God won't let me. But I'm sending you Epaphras, so Epaphras can unravel this mystery before you, so that Epaphras can do the things that I can't do. I have not seen you face to face. I don't know your names. I don't know all the things about you, but I know you are a people that God loves, and I want you to be reached with the gospel of Jesus Christ so that we can get to know each other up in heaven one day. What was that song they just sang about? When I see the cross, when I'm underneath the cross, I can find my way home. Right? And that's what we are there to say. Folks, here is the cross. Here is the cross of Jesus Christ. And if you will just stand at the foot of the cross, you can spend eternity with God in heaven. You will know the mystery of Jesus Christ completely unraveled, completely unveiled, so that as you see Him, you know what your eternity is going to be. But folks, I can't pray hard enough by myself. I need you to pray with us so that as we are there in that place, God opens doors. We have watched, as Ruth said this morning, we have watched the doors creak shut behind us. It will probably be pretty unlikely that when I get back, I will be able to get back into the schools. COVID has got everybody scared. And they will not let me back into the schools because I'm not part of the staff. I'm not part of this. I'm not part of that. I'm not getting tested the right way to keep them happy. So the doors of the schools are closed. Care homes, just the same situation. We don't want any strangers. If you're not part of the staff, you're not getting in. These doors have closed for the moment. Maybe God will open them again. Maybe if we all together, we pray hard enough, God will open those doors so we can get back into the schools, back into the care homes, back into these other places that we've been. football. I'd been under the chaplaincy for Brecon City for several years. Up until I came back to the States, I was the longest serving chaplain in Scotland for a single football club. And I love those guys. I love my football. I know you guys mock soccer. I used to too. I get it. What a silly game. Oops, he touched me. I think I'll fall down and flop all over the place. But you know, that's who God called me to minister to. But under COVID, we've got red zones, we got amber zones, and we got no-go zones. And so my interaction with the players, with the staff, has been so limited, it has been unbelievable. Satan, God, allowing Satan to close a door. But when we go back, I need you to pray with us, for us, that God will open new doors of opportunity to work into the lives of people to say, here is Jesus Christ. Let me reveal to you the truth about who he is. So when I walk up to somebody and I say, hi, I'm John, I'm the minister of the Baptist Church here in Brecon, and they look at me and go, I'm an atheist. Huh, what do you think of that? Yeah, I got you, big boy. And I just look at them and go, it's okay. God believes in you anyway. They go, huh? What do you mean by that? That's scary. Or my other one I like is, it's okay, I'll bet you're not. What do you mean I'm not an atheist? I just told you I was an atheist. How dare you tell me I'm not an atheist? I am one. No, I bet you're not. 2 hours later, they're going, yeah, you're right. Okay, I'm not an atheist. I'm just an agnostic. I really just don't know. But it doesn't happen instantly. It doesn't happen overnight. It doesn't happen in that first conversation quite often. Why? Because they don't know who Jesus Christ is. And I need you to be Paul, where he says, I would that you knew what great conflict I have for you. That's what it's about. Are you broken for the souls of this world? I mean, really broken? Do you get on your face before God praying, crying out, God, save the souls of those people in that little tiny town in Scotland that nobody else in the world but that crazy John Bergen thinks is important? God, use that big nutcase to reveal who Jesus Christ is. Do you weep over those people? Do you have a missionary that you love? You hear him preach, you think about their field, and your heart just breaks for the people that they're ministering to? See, it's easy to pray for the missionaries because you see us, not very often in my case, but you see us. We are real people, and you can pray, God bless John and Ruth. And especially after today, I hope you'll be praying, God bless John and Ruth as they minister the gospel. Hope we've had an opportunity to become more real to you. Not just a face on the board out here. Not just a newsletter that shows up whenever I can find something interesting to say. But I want you to pray for the people God has called us to reach. Because together, that angst, that agony, that working together, God can do something. Good. Now the rest of this is great stuff. I'm just not going to take the time tonight to unravel it all. But if you'll just take on board, if you'll just listen and say, God, help me to pray for the souls of people around this world, so much so that we understand what it means, he who goes forth bearing precious seed, weeping, will doubtless come again with rejoicing. I want you to get to heaven and say, hi, I'm Timothy, I'm Paul. I prayed for you to come to know Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior. So glad you made it. So glad you opened your heart to Jesus Christ because John and Ruth were Epaphras into your life. That's what we're supposed to be. What's your great conflict? Are you so worried with making a living, paying the bills, that you forget about souls? I hope not. Get to where we need to be. Be Paul. Be Epaphras. Some of you need to be Epaphras. Come join me. Be my fellow Epaphras. We have a choice of who we are before God. Your choice, you have to be in God's face and say, okay, God, what are you going to do with me? Our dearly Father, we do thank you for your word. We thank you for souls around this world that you want to reach. Father, I know that there are people that if you were made manifest in a real way in their life, they would come and be fellow worshipers with us. So Father, help this church here to be Paul's and Timothy's, broken for lost souls, not only in this area, but I'm convinced, Father, if you break their hearts for souls in a place like Brechin, Scotland, you'll break their hearts for souls even in this place, in Haslett and Fort Worth, in this part of Texas, that their hearts will be knit to you and they will want as well to reveal the mystery of Christ. Help us all to find the place and the people that you want for each of us to minister to, because mission is so important to your kingdom. This is who you've called us to be, and who what you have called us to do is to proclaim Jesus Christ, Lord of Lords and King of Kings. May we go through this life, as Palm Sunday reminds us, saying, Hosanna, blessed is he, you that come in the name of the Lord. May that be our message, may that be our testimony. But God, break our hearts in a real way for those you want us to minister to. This I ask in Jesus' name.